I don't think firemen will ever be happy striking and refusing to put out fires in order to get more money. I don't think nurses will ever be happy refusing to wait on patients who are sick and dying just to get more money. Nothing has changed our nation quite as much as the dollar. Just pick up your newspaper any day you want to. And a different vocation is saying, we want more money. Truck drivers, school teachers, government workers, hospital workers, steel mills workers, steel workers, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, everybody. More money, boys. More money. More money. We want more money. We want more money. Nobody has ever gotten happy with money. Amen. Nobody. Nobody. Money can buy everything but happiness and take you everywhere but heaven. Money can buy you a new car, but you'll be a miserable driver. Some of you are already miserable drivers. Especially the one-arm ones around here. Money can buy you new clothes and make you restless while in them. Money can buy you a new house and make you lay awake at nights sleepless in it. Money can pad your bank account and also pad your covetousness for more money. Nothing that is God's is obtainable by money. Do you get that? Nothing that is God's is attainable by money. All nations have their proverbs about money. The Russians have a proverb that says, where money speaks, the truth is silent. The Spaniards have one that says, money turns bad into good. The Germans have one that says, mention money, and the world is silent. The Dutch say, money rules the world. The Chinese say, a man without money might as well be buried in a rice tub. But none is so scriptural as the old American statement, money talks. Money talks. Now, what does money say? Money does talk. What does it say? In the first place, money speaks to tell us of our character. Money talks to tell us of character. Habakkuk 2:11 says, woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus 1:11 speaks about filthy lucre. Money talks. First thing money talks about your character. For example, it tells how honest you are. Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does that mean? That means woe to the fellow who makes money by running an adult bookstore and selling dirty magazines and peep shows and topless shine girls. That's crooked money. And there's a woe and a judgment of God upon that kind of paganism. Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does that mean? It means woe to the one who makes money selling liquor. And stupid is the one who buys it.
Amen.
Woe are these little tavern keepers over here on State Line. I was driving down the street the other night, State Line Street, just one right after the other. One right after the other. Woe to the person who makes his living selling liquor and putting the bottle to his neighbor's mouth.
Amen.
He's making money. That's filthy lucre. Evil gain for his house. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means woe is the waitress who serves the stuff. Occasionally some young lady will come to me and say to the house, I want to be an airline stewardess. I don't want you to be. I don't want you to be. I don't want you to be a flying bartender.
Amen.
There's a woe. By the way, that includes you men that run grocery stores that serve liquor in your grocery stores too.
Amen.
There's a woe on you. There's a judgment on you. Well, you say, I can't make a living. Then starve to death and be honest.
Amen.
What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means the waitress who serves it. It means the man who serves it, who sells it in a grocery store or a drug store. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means woe to the publishers of filth. It means woe to the publishers of Playboy magazine. Make money off the lust of men and stirring the evil passions of society. There's a woe on that kind of person. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth evil gain for his house. It means there's a woe placed upon people that make money by selling rotten literature. You folks that have places of business and you sell dirty Penthouse and Playboy magazines and these little magazines, Confidential, that tell lewd stories and have lewd pictures. I'm simply saying that God's woe is upon you, and God's wrath is upon you, and God's judgment is poured out upon you because you make evil gain. Filthy lucre. What? Making money. Trying to cause lives to be wrecked and ruined and futures and air castles to be destroyed and broken. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means woe to the owner of the Calumet Theater down here.
Amen.
And the lady who sells the tickets. And the ushers who take you to your seats. And the fellow who runs the projector up in the projector room. And the fellow who sells the popcorn for folks to enjoy while they watch these dirty movies. What? Well, we've got to make a living. Woe to the fellow who drives a liquor truck. Woe to the fellow who makes evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means woe to the one who raises tobacco and makes a living raising tobacco. I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, preaching, and everybody down there makes a living just about either raising tobacco or working in Mr. Winston's Winston place, you know. Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should. Also causes cancer, like a cigarette does too. And I preached the first night just in passing. I said a few words about cigarettes. I normally do, and any kind of cancer causers and so forth. So several people said, "You're in Winston-Salem," and said, "We just don't do that in Winston-Salem." Well, we did for four other sermons. You see, if I'm going to preach against cigarettes in Hammond, I'm going to preach against it in Durham, North Carolina. If I'm going to preach against beer in Hammond, I'm going to preach against it in Milwaukee.
Amen.
Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means woe to him that sells tobacco. Or works in the factory. What does it mean? Woe to the TV station that spreads filth. God's wrath and God's judgment is on Channel 11 for the filthy, sexy program that they showed last week. Read the write-up about that dirty thing. And God's woe is on you folks, that watch the filth too. You say, won't you quit preaching or quit meddling and go to preaching? Brother, preaching that doesn't meddle is not preaching. It's not preaching. Meddling or non-meddling preaching is no preaching at all.
Amen.
So you're going to make somebody mad. If God don't quit me, I am. And I'd hate not to. There's a woe. Woe to him that getteth evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means a preacher who trims his message to get it, so he'll get his salary and won't get fired, is wicked, and the wrath of God's upon him, and there's a woe on him. Preacher's afraid of the rich members. Or for that matter, a collection of poor ones. There's a woe on him. What does it mean? Filthy lucre. It means woe to the Christian who uses God's tithe for himself. Hey, we got down to you, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah. Woe to the Christian who takes God's money. I mean the tithe. I mean the 10%. And doesn't give it to God and use it for himself. That's filthy lucre. Woe to that robber. Woe to that thief. Woe to that crook. You say, hold it, preacher. You're calling me a crook. No, I didn't. God calls you a crook, and I'm just taking a message to you. That's all. God said, you're a robber. You've robbed God. And robbing is crooked. Robbing is dishonest. And there's a woe, there's a wrath on every person in this house who gives God less than one dime out of every dollar you make. The tithe is the Lord's, echoes through the Bible all the way through. Filthy lucre. Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means the nurse who strikes and lets patients go unattended for a dollar. That's filthy lucre. It means a policeman who strikes and lets a town go unprotected for a dollar. That's filthy lucre. It means the fireman who strikes and lets the city go unprotected for a dollar. That's filthy lucre. We say, I've got a right to money just like everybody else has. I know it. And you'll be miserable just like everybody else is, too. You know who the happy folks are? Happy folks are folks who found the will of God for their lives and who take pride in what they do and not concerned about how much they make. What is filthy lucre? I don't know what it is in just plain language. Filthy lucre is money made outside the will of God. Filthy lucre is money made in any business that you're in if it's not in the will of God for your life. Filthy lucre is money made in Miami if you're supposed to be in Minneapolis. Filthy lucre is money made in Jerusalem if you're supposed to live in Los Angeles. Filthy lucre, hey, couple over here, listen while I'm preaching. Filthy lucre is any money made outside the will of God. Listen to me. Do you know you have no right to choose a profession because of the salary? No right in this world. None whatsoever. We've got, even in Christian circles, a wicked kind of a philosophy that says that it's okay to make money as long as you make it in an honorable profession, and that is okay if it's the will of God for your life. Otherwise, you have no right. You have no right to choose. Say, well, I'm going to be a doctor because there's a lot of money there. If you want to be a doctor so you can help people who are sick and try to keep folks well and serve mankind, that's okay. If you're going to be a doctor to make money, then you're crooked, filthy lucre. I don't know whether Dr. Streeter's here tonight or not, but I thank God for Dennis Streeter. I know what he made last year. I won't tell you, but I know what it was. That young man with his degree from medical school, a thriving young surgeon, goes out here to Hiles Anderson College on Thursday night, and for a few paltry pennies, he works out there from 7 or 8 o'clock at night till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to help the Hiles Anderson College students. And what he charges doesn't even cover his expenses. And I know the offers, he said. I know he is the brightest, or was the brightest, graduate in his class. He was the top graduate, what do you call it? valedictorian. I don't know if they call that medical school or not, but he was number one in the graduating class, all kinds of offers to make money. I'm simply saying he has decided to be a doctor to help mankind because that's the will of God for his life, and any other reason is filthy lucre.
Amen.
It's filthy lucre. So I'm going to be a lawyer because that's where the money is. I'm going to be a businessman. That's where the money is. I say again, if you're in a business to make money and not to serve mankind, you have no right to be in that business. You have no right to choose that profession. You have no right in this world to do anything outside the will of God for your life. None. Money talks. What does it say? It tells your character. Money talks. What else? It talks about salvation. Money tells whether you're saved or not. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, after he got saved, he said, if I have wronged any man, taken any money wrongly, I will restore him fourfold. Well, that's something for a tax collector. I mean, the record for tax collectors is onefold. Fourfold, he said. Why? He'd been born again. Listen. When a person's born again, his entire outlook toward money ought to change. Money talks. I go out to our school, college, Hiles Anderson College. I look at the students when I speak on chapel and realize those students, many of them, absolutely living on a shoestring. And that's a broken shoestring. Boys on the front, sit up and listen to me. Hey, sit up. Sit up, son. That's it. Listen to me. You fellows have talked enough tonight. And I look at those students out there and realize that they are spending 4 years of life training and training and training and working and training so they can be poor the rest of their life. That's it. Why? I'll tell you why. They found something that's greater riches than all of Fort Knox, Kentucky, and all the banks in America. Nothing as overrated as money. Nothing as exaggerated as money. Listen. The people that have it usually turn out spoiled kids, miserable, wretched lives. Money talks about salvation. I recall, and many of you have heard this story. I was in Texas one day. A barber got saved. Great big fellow. Older man, but a distinguished looking man. Owned a barber shop. Had several chairs in his shop. He got saved one Sunday. I didn't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. Several weeks later, we had a men's gathering. We called it Brotherhood Meeting one night. There he was. Mr. Herring was there. He asked if he could speak a few words. He stood up to speak. And he said, folks, I want to tell you something. I got saved 2 weeks ago. I've been on vacation ever since. He said, I got saved on Sunday. On Monday, I went to Brownwood, Texas. He said about 28 to 30 years ago, our oldest son was born in a hospital in Brownwood, Texas. He said, I never paid the doctor bill or the hospital bill. He said, I got saved Sunday. I went to Brownwood, Texas, 150 miles. He said, I paid the hospital bill for my oldest son. 28 years ago. Then he said, I tried to find the doctor. And looked and looked and looked. I found the doctor or some of his heirs. And I found the doctor bill as best I could. What I owed the doctor for 28 years. He said, I paid the doctor bill. Then he said, I got in the car and drove several hundred miles to Abilene, Texas. And paid off my second child's hospital bill. And my second child's doctor bill. Listen to me. You students at Hiles Anderson College that don't pay your rent, don't you expect me to recommend you to a church when you graduate? I got a letter this week. Student, 7 months behind on his rent. You'll starve as far as I'm concerned when time comes for you to graduate. Don't you come to me saying, can you recommend me to a church? I'm going to recommend you to a mourner's bench. Money talks. Don't you recall 1 John 4:17? But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion against him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What it says is this: a person who sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, when he has this world's good and does not share with him and does not help him, he says he is not born again. That's what it says. Person gets born again, there's something happens to him. His attitude toward money changes. Money talks about character. Money talks about salvation. Money talks about where your heart is. Matthew 6:21, where your heart is, where treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. With your mouth you say you love the church, but your pocketbook says you don't. Your heart is not in the church. With your mouth you say you love the souls of men. With your pocketbook you don't. And your heart is not in soul winning. With your mouth you say you love the needy. With your pocketbook you don't. Your heart is not in helping the needy. With your mouth you speak of devotion. Your pocketbook speaks of self. Your money talks about where your heart is. John Wesley said, when I have any money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. John Wesley said, when I have any money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. Ray Smith said, no man is really consecrated till his money is dedicated. Thomas Carlyle said, the deepest depth of vulgarism is that of setting up money as the Ark of the Covenant. Frederick Saunders said, money is the largest slaveholder in the world. And 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen to me tonight. That money you've got stored up in a bank for a rainy day, boy, it's going to take a tornado to spend all that money, most of you. Now, we have some businessmen in this church. I have in my pocket tonight a check for $2,500. It was given to me last Sunday night, and not to me personally, but given to the church. Some men in our church are in business together, have a successful business, and God is blessing their business. One reason is they promised God that 25% of all of the gross income, I don't mean the profits, I mean all of the gross income, 25% of it, they'd give it to God. That's what Christianity is all about. I mean, that's what it is. I bind you, those fellows are saved. Why? Because they have gotten the proper priorities about money. You say, preacher, wouldn't you like to have $1 million? If I had $1 million today, when the sun set tomorrow, I wouldn't have it. You say, you're lying. Try me. Huh? Just try to see. Now, the honest truth is, I mean that. If I had $1 million today, by sundown tomorrow, I wouldn't have it. You know why? Because I might like it. And I'm 47 years old. I've been happy as a June bug all these years. I wasn't born in a maternity ward. I was born probably on the front porch. I mean, I got relatives that used to feed me. We didn't have any Heinz Gerbers around our house. I got relatives that used to chew up food and then take it out and give it to me. That's why I'm such a healthy specimen. I got knots on my head right here, right now. My head's not shaped like it ought to be shaped. Some of you folks think they're horns, but they're not. Well, you know why? Because my mother couldn't afford any cod liver oil when I was a baby. We didn't even know cods had livers back in those days. poor. Why, well, man, listen. For years, I didn't know. A bathtub? I'll never forget the first time I saw an indoor bathroom. I said, man, that's unsanitary. I grew up with a dipper. Our crystal was a dipper. Oh, unless we could afford some peanut butter. And we use the peanut butter jars. That's when company came. I grew up poor. Now, I got to the place some time in my life where I don't have to be poor anymore. Now, I mean that. I don't have to be poor. I could make $200,000 a year if I wanted to on my books. If I just worked it right. I could clear $200,000 a year on my books. But I don't. None of it sticks. I give it away. We send books, free books, all over the world. And I give away books to preachers by the dozens and dozens of practically every day. Why? I've been happy. I'm 47 years old. Look like I'm 25. But I'm 47 years old. And I've been happy. I know I'm happy poor. I don't know I'd be happy rich. Why chance it? Huh? Why chance it? Young people, you'll be happy if you won't ever fall in love with money. And you folks that have fallen in love with it will be happy. You'll start a fuss with it and fall out of love with it. Money talks. Money talks about salvation. Money talks about where your heart is. Money talks. Money talks. By the way, let me say this. There are not two standards of money for preachers and laymen. Some of you folks sit out there and you say, well, yes, Brother Hiles is a man of God, and God has called Brother Hiles to preach, and so Brother Hiles finds happiness in serving the Lord and preaching the gospel of Christ. And yes, he's a preacher, and boy, if I were a preacher, I'll tell you, I'd have the same philosophy. Well, there are not two sets of standards in the Bible, one for preachers and one for laymen, about money. I have as much right to make money as you do. And it's just as wrong for you to love money as it is for me to love money. Amen. It's just as wrong for you. Listen, there are folks in this house tonight who could send 40 or 50 kids, little poor bus kids, to school, and they could maybe become something. Go to Highland Baptist schools and their lives could count for God, where they're over here rotting in cesspools of iniquity and filth. And in schools in Chicago with no hope for the future, you could be sending dozens and dozens of those kids to a Christian school, but you got your money stacking higher and higher and higher in bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns, while a few people that make a few dollars sacrifice and give all they have to send kids to school. And you're going to face God over that. Yes, you are. See your brother have need? Shut your bowels of compassion up against him? How dwelleth the love of God in him? Suppose I got up tonight, said, folks, Brother Vineyard wants to say a few words. Brother Vineyard stands up and he says, folks, I'm leaving First Baptist Church in Hammond. If he ever does, Sully, stand up. Face Brother Vineyard. That's the way you're going to look if you ever leave. But suppose he got up tonight and he said, because I want to pull one arm off trying to keep him here. But suppose he said, I'm leaving tonight to go somewhere else. He said, the truth is, it's where the weather is more attractive than this. I do not know of any place like that. But suppose that there were. And where the scenery is prettier. We have beautiful scenery here. You just can't see it for the soot, that's all. It's really beautiful. But I'm leaving. I want to have all these people in Chicago that for whom he has a burden. And I've been offered twice as much money. And by the way, most of the men on this platform, if they went into business and used the same talent they use for God, could double, triple, and quadruple and multiply their incomes and be wealthy men. You think this nut here couldn't have a, what's this fellow on television, this little kiddie show every day? Big fat fellow. What? Not Captain Kangaroo. Who?
Uncle Ned.
This fellow could put Uncle Ned out of business. He could put Captain Kangaroo out of business, too. He could. This is the biggest monkey in the country. Really. He can hold the attention of kids. He said, folks, I'm going to change because I'm going to double my salary. You'd go home tonight and you'd say to your wife, a husband, or a family, I just can't believe it. I can't believe Brother Vineyard would leave our church just to get more money. Now, you listen to me. He has as much a right to do it as you do to transfer across this country to get an increase in salary. Just as much a right. Suppose I said tonight, folks, I'm going to leave the church because I can get to $50,000 a year. And I've been offered jobs up to $100,000 a year and with the privilege of taking all my outside engagements and revivals and so forth. But suppose I want to leave $100,000, $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year. You'd say, I never thought Brother Howells would do that. I've got as much right to as you do. Listen, it is not right. It is not scriptural. It is not spiritual for you to give your future to a chain store or a company. And every time they say you're going to get transferred to a Slippery Rock, you just go to Slippery Rock because the company says you ought to go to Slippery Rock. Let me tell you something. There's a company right up there that's supposed to tell you where to go.
Amen.
And if you just say, well, I'm getting a raise in pay. I don't care if they're giving you Fort Knox and giving you a share on the next Watergate. It's filthy lucre if you go outside the will of God.
Amen.
I'm talking to deacons. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. I'm talking to laymen. I'm talking to businessmen. I'm talking to steel mill workers. I'm talking to factory workers. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to everybody in this house. You have no right. No right. None. Just to stack money. You say, preacher, you mad at me? No, sir. I'm trying. Listen, one of these days, I know some people in this church tonight who've given everything they have to God. I mean, they've just given all of it. And you wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ, brother. And the Lord starts pulling all that money out you sent up there and just pours it out. And boy, God blesses you and rewards you, and the angels sing praises about what you've done, and you get your rewards. You're going to come over and say, Brother Hiles, I appreciate so much the way you preach to me. Some of our folks are learning about giving. I can tell you a story. Listen, a young man sat in my office last night and said, Brother Hiles, listen to this now. He's Brother Hiles. He said, I've been in sin. But he said, I've been on dope. But he said, I was talking to a young man in this church who had been in sin. And he told me about a young man that was my friend in this church. Young man in his 20s is his friend. Said, that young man has been trying to help me, and he said, listen, you don't know what you have. He'll be your friend. And that young man said, and by the way, this fella makes less than $8,000 a year I'm talking about. He said, he gave me $1,000. Not loaned it to me, gave it to me. $1,000. I'll bind you one thing. I've given enough to where I know the fellow who gave it got a bigger blessing than the fellow who got it. And this young man said, I'm going to get right with God. He said, I didn't know friends could be like that. And if friends can be that way, he said, I'm going to get right with God. Now you listen, folks. That money which you keep will not meet you on the other side. That money which you let go and give away, yes, people often say, preacher, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Why, you never keep anything. And, preacher, you're stupid. No, I'm not stupid. Listen, I've read some Bible. And I know this. I know that I want my heart to be with sinners and the needy and the poor. And if my heart is there, my money's got to be there. I don't have much to give away, but I give it. I've let go of $600 this week. Say, where'd you get it? I don't know. I just got it here and there. And I gave it here and there, too. Say, man alive, preacher, save that for a rainy day. Everybody I gave it to, it was raining on. I saved it for a rainy day. But I didn't just save it for houses rainy day. I mean, if I find somebody's got a rainy day, and you check and see, you just ask. If I find somebody has a rainy day, it's, listen, if I save money for a rainy day, and I see someone whom I love, who's my friend, in the rain, I'm going to help get them out of the rain. And some of our folks are getting the idea. A lot of you are not. A lot of you are still skin flints, tight wads. You wouldn't give more than 10% to see the Mississippi River tied in a bow knot. That's where the buffalo got the hump on his back. You squeezed his neck to keep him so hard. I'm not mad at you, and I don't care. I can say to you like Paul said to Simon, brother, thy money perish with thee. I mean, yeah, he said. People say, well, you better be nice to him. He's got a lot of money. I'm going to be nice to him. I'm going to be just as nice to the rescue mission man, too. A little child in school the other day wrote an article about me. And I got a hold of it. Just a little child in grade school wrote an article about me. Said, well, who's Brother Hiles? He said, Brother Hiles is a person that always knows how to act. Said, Brother Hiles is a person that's just as friendly to a little boy as he is to a rich man. By the way, so was our Savior. Just before our Savior called Zacchaeus out of that tree, that rich man, just before he did that, he ministered to a blind Bartimaeus beside the road. And the chapter after our Lord talked to the teacher of the teacher Nicodemus in John 3, in the next chapter, he spent more time talking to a woman, who was a fallen woman, who couldn't put anything in the offering. And the greatest gift that was ever given in the Bible was given by a little widow who had two mites, who dropped those mites in the collection plate, and they made so much noise, they've been heard around the world ever since. Greatest gift that's ever been given. If you'll ever get your priorities right on money, like old C.T. Studd did, gave away $200,000, gave away a fortune. Back when $200,000 was like $2 million tonight. Yep, gave $25,000 of it to start Moody Bible Institute. Gave some more for Mr. Moody's campaigns. Gave it all away and went to a deserted place in the corner of the world. Gave it all to God. A young man said to me this week, said, I don't want to give all to God. It gets me in trouble. Young man, listen to me now. It may get you in temporary trouble. But you wait, you get down the road a little piece, and you're going to find not giving all to God is going to get you in more trouble than you'll ever know in giving all to God. Money talks of your love. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Says that if a person does not give to God, he robs God. And it says, will a man rob God? Yet you say, wherein have we robbed thee? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. It says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Why? To show your love for God. And in John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave, and you can't love without giving. Nowhere in the world. Money speaks about your love. Money speaks about your future. Matthew 6:19-21. Speaks about, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. Money talks about your future. I'm going to be rich one of these days. By the way, let me just say a few words. I could go across this platform. Jim Vineyard. You know how much he gave to this church, to the bus ministry last year? You know what his salary is? Lower 8,000 a year, plus a house, car, and a car allowance. And that's fine. Except he travels around the country some, and he doesn't get much money, I'll tell you that. But it happened to know he gave over $10,000 to the bus ministry last year. John Colston. One man in our church, mother died, and he couldn't afford to go to the funeral. $200 or $300 expenses. John bought him an airplane ticket, sent him to the funeral. I could go on and on, just name these fellows up on the platform. All but Boardway, he's a tightwad, he's rich. But I don't know him like I know the rest of them. But I know something about the people in our church. I know something about the people that do without so little boys and girls can go to Christian schools. Money talks. Go to Egypt tonight. Leave Cairo. Go down to Luxor and Karnak, where we went one time on a trip with the Holy Land. You'll see some holes in the mountains. You'll go in those holes and go down long steps, sort of pieces of wood with just little pieces across to make little steps, and you'll go down and wind your way down in a mountain somewhere. Down at the bottom of those steps, you'll find a big room. It's a tomb of a king. Some king that ruled in Egypt. He wanted to take his stuff with him. So he has gold and silver and precious stones, beautiful paintings, buried with him. Has it all planned. Why? So he can take it with him. No, he doesn't take it with him. No. Over in France, there was a man, a merchant in France, name was C-H-A-U-C-H-A-R-D. He died in 1909. Very wealthy man, very rich man, made millions. When he died, he left $75 to each employee. He was wrapped in a shroud that cost $100,000 and placed in a casket that cost $100,000. Left $75 to each one of his employees. Why? Try and take it with him. You can't do that. No, you can't do it. Brother Vineyard, you'll meet that $10,000 one of these days. I'll tell you another thing, too. Thousands of little poor kids over in Chicago who've been saved because of it are going to meet you in heaven because of it. I'm 47 years old. I've made several million dollars. I don't mean offerings. I mean, I have made several million dollars. I could be a millionaire. If God probably kill me if I were, but I could be a millionaire. I made that much money. Over that much money. Over 2 million. I mean, I could be worth $1 million. I ain't. I'm not even a thousandaire. I'm not sure that my assets would make me a hundredaire. But I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I've been sending money ahead all these years. Just sending it ahead. Just sending it ahead. I'm no great shakes of a philanthropist. I want to close with a big word so we can have a good invitation. I'm no I can't say it. But I learned a long time ago that money is highly exaggerated. Highly exaggerated. Money talks. Money talks. What you got in your billfold tonight talks. How much you got in the bank talks. What are you spending your time doing? Trying to stack it up? Huh? Look at old Russell Anderson. God bless him. Worth over $2 million. His wife has a garden and raises her food in the backyard. buys her clothes at Kmart. What does he do with his money? Gives it away. Gives it away. I mean, gives it away. You said, well, the house, how much? All of it. All of it. Do you know Russell Anderson has given this church over $1 million? You won't find a happier little fellow in the world, no Russell Anderson. One night we were out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He flew with me out there. I preached that night on this kind cometh forth by nothing but with prayer and fasting. I preached along that line of the night. Russell couldn't sleep that night. I looked over and he was crying. His eyes were moist with tears. He said to me, he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, I'd give everything I own to have the power you have with God. Everything I own, I'd give it if I just had the power with God you have. That night he didn't sleep. He left the room, was gone. I don't know how long, but everything is peculiar. He went alone, got filled with the Holy Spirit out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now he goes all over the country preaching the gospel. Most every Sunday he's preaching somewhere. Wins souls all the time. Money doesn't mean much to him. Not a great deal. Money talks. Let me ask you a question. You been robbing God? Huh? Well, you say, if I had $1 million, I'd give it all away. No, you don't even give that 10 you got away. You think God trusts you with $1 million if you squeeze that 10? But Brother Hiles, I tell you, I'm having a tough time. Folks have to give to me. I don't care if they do. Listen, if you're on relief or on welfare, you give a lot of your welfare money away. Give it away. We say, Brother Hiles, I'm poor. I know. By the way, the less money you have, the more of it you better give away, so because you won't have much to meet you over there. Are you robbing God? Huh? Been tithing? You like the colored preacher down south. He said, we're going to take an offering. And all the money we get is going to go to the upbuilding of this cause. That cause right there. You'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. You'll never be happy in your life till you get this matter of money all straightened out. Never will. How much you got in the bank? If you know how much you got in the bank, you're probably too interested in money. And if you wouldn't give it all away tonight, all of it away, for Jesus, not to me, not to the church necessarily. I'm not trying to get you money. I'm trying to get you some money to meet you when you get to heaven. And if you'll listen to me and get the right priority about money, you will praise forever the sermon I'm preaching tonight.
Amen.
So just get money in the right priority. Amen. Money talks. Money tells whether you're saved or not. Money tells where your heart is. Money tells about your love. Money tells about your character. What does money mean to you? Now, I'm not saying that a student ought to go to school and say, well, the Lord provide, and I won't pay my debts. I'm not talking about that. You ought to pay your debts, and if you don't, you're crooked. And a lot of you folks tonight would be a lot better off. You just, listen, just bring your pocketbook down here tonight on the altar and take the credit cards out and leave them here.
Amen.
Just leave them here. And never make a debt you don't know you can pay. Never. I'm not talking about being shiftless, careless about finances. I'm talking about taking a dollar or whatever else you got, $100, whatever else you got. I'm talking about taking it. Saying, old buddy, George, I don't have many pictures of you, but you're not going to rule me, you little green piece of paper. You're not going to rule me. I'm not going to live my life trying to get you. Because I happen to know that everybody I've ever known that spent a life trying to get you wasn't real happy. you little fake, you. Not you, George. You're a fine man. But you little fake, you. You've tried to deceive everybody that's ever lived in this world thinking you could make them happy. That's what I think about you. I'd be willing, just for illustration's sake, to tear you up. That's how much I think about you. You're not going to rule me. You're not going to rule me. I'm going to rule you. Of course, I'm going to get some scotch tape and put you back together after the service. If you think I'm going to drop this on the floor, you got another thing coming. I mean, this thing's going to be spent tomorrow somewhere. But you're not going to rule me. You're not going to do it. I'm going to use you because the only thing you're worth is using, but you're not going to use me. You won't conquer me, little green fella. I'll conquer you, and you won't rule me, I'll rule you. You won't run me, I'll run you. Because, you see, I found out that you're highly overrated, and you won't make anybody happy. I'll tell you what I've also found. I found that when there are a lot of folks that need some of you to, or to eat, in order to pay their bills and to keep warm in the wintertime. So I'm going to put you back together and I'm going to use you to give you to somebody. Yeah, you talk. You tell if I'm selfish or not. You tell if I'm saved or not. You tell if I have real love. Money talks. Money talks. What does it say about you? Some of you have some shady money that whispers tonight. Some of you have some dirty money that shouts. Some of you have some money that says you're selfish. Some of you have some money that says you live for yourself and not others. Some of you have some money tonight in your pocketbook. That's God's. You crook, you thief, you robber. It's God's. It's in your pocket tonight. Money talks. What does it say about you? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'd sure like tonight for you to get all of our people positionized right on money. On money. Our heads are bowed. It's in the Bible, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Give and it shall be given to you. It's in the Bible. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. It's in the Bible. There are couples in this room tonight. Both of you work. You have no children. You're giving the same percentage of your income to God that a family is giving, where the man was the only one that works and has six children. You think God's going to expect you just to give the same tithe when both of you work and there are no children as a fellow gives who's rearing six kids and the only one working for a gain? Huh? What is your attitude about money tonight? Let me say this. I have nobody in mind. Nobody. I'm preaching tonight to the pauper as much as I am the one who's a millionaire if he's here. I'm preaching tonight to the person who makes $200 a week as much as I am to the person who makes $2,000 a week. But you'll be happier than you've ever been in your life when you realize the purpose of money. Money talks. Has it said something to you tonight? Huh? What kind of love do you have tonight? What does money say about your love? What does money say about your character? What does money say about your heart? How much do you have meeting you on the other side? Huh? How much? I wonder, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, God has spoken to my heart about something along the trail tonight. God has spoken to my heart tonight somewhere along the trail. He's tapped me on the shoulder and told me something I needed to hear, a decision I need to make maybe. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. You can drop your hands. Now, when the invitation is sung, if you need a trip to the altar, you just take advantage of it. Now, if there are those tonight here who are not saved, God love you. Jesus died for you and paid the price for your salvation. I'd love to tell you how to be saved if you'll leave your seat when the invitation comes and come down to the front. Sunday morning is our great evangelistic service, but I'll tell you what, if you're not saved tonight, I'd sure love to see you come to Christ. If you've been saved but have not yet been baptized, I want you to come for baptism. If you're here tonight and you have not joined a church and do not have a church home near where you live, you come for transfer membership. But if you do not know the Savior, you come. If you're coming for baptism, salvation, or membership, I'll meet you at the altar. If you're coming just to pray, you need not come and take my hand. You just kneel at the altar and do business with God. A lot of you tonight ought to leave some of God's money at this altar. I wouldn't go home with it if I were you. I preached a sermon along this line, not much along the same line, but about money not long ago, and a man came to my office and left, I think it was $3,000, I think it was, left it in my office. Said, that's God's money. I'm going to settle up with him.